Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all here in the house of the Lord as we gather to worship, and we're glad that you are here. The only announcement that I had right now is to remind you of board meeting and commission meetings on Tuesday night. So are there any other announcements?
I just wanted to remind everybody that youth group is tonight. I'm not sure if everybody still had their last schedule floating around because it was kind of tagged on the old schedule. So I just wanted to remind everybody that youth group is tonight. Also that the pancake breakfast tickets for the Dominican missions trip are still on sale today in the back. And also, I wanted to kind of put a little blurb out there for our Dominican trip. We are in need of extra suitcases. Preferably with wheels, just because it makes it a lot easier. They would not be coming home, though. So if anybody has an old piece of luggage, it can be really beat up. It does not have to be fancy. Whatever you might have laying around that you want to get rid of. If you have one laying around that you would like to get rid of, please let us know, because we need those to take with us, to take the extra goodies with that we take along with us. So, again, though, please be aware the suitcase is not coming home. So if you give it to us, please understand that you are getting rid of it and you will not see it again. So if you do have one that you would just like to get out of storage or has just been laying around, just see any one of us and we will be happy to take it off of your hands for you. Thank you.
Before we begin our worship, I'm going to introduce a speaker of the day. Ralph is one of my best friends. There is a little information about him in your bulletins, where he served as pastor and so on. But Ralph and I met in seminary. And while we were in seminary, we both worked together at the Chicago Boys Club for a year. Then we worked at Sears for a year. And then my third year, Ralph went to Hagerstown for an interim pastor, and then he came back. And one of the things that's interesting to me is that Ralph and I and our two friends, Gene Bucher and Fred Schwartz, have played golf together at least once a year for 53 years. Now, we've played that long, that doesn't mean we got any better. But it used to be Gene and I would play against Ralph and Fred. But the last couple years, we figured we're not playing competition anymore. We're going to play scramble just for the fun of it. So it's been a good friendship over the years. But I said, in all the years that I've known him and we've been friends, I've never heard him preach. So I said, this morning, I'm going to sit back there with my pen and pencil and I'm going to critique him in terms of practice preaching class. But it's really a joy for me to have Ralph here today. And one other advantage of having him here today, he's an excellent tenor. So he's going to be helping us in our choir this morning. He's sung in quartets and choirs all his life. I should tell you that he comes from the Indian Creek congregation, grew up there down around Harleysville. So as I said, we've been wonderful friends together, and it's a joy to have you with us today, Ralph.
Thank you.
Our thanks to the Bell Choir, and I must tell you, every time I hear that hymn, it reminds me of John Gibble, because that was his favorite hymn. It is well with my soul. Will you stand as you turn in your hymnals to I Sing the Mighty Power of God? It's number 46 in your blue hymnal. Come to our Lord in prayer. Just an update. Nettie Crawl was taken to Cedar Haven. I understand she has a fracture of her pelvis. Yeah.
Possibly.
But it's temporary. It's not permanent at this point. That's the plan. So we'll want to remember Nettie in our prayers. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, our loving Father, we come to you with grateful hearts for the love that you've shown to us in so many ways, especially through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And now we thank you for the love that you give to us to share with each other. And so we are grateful for this opportunity to come together as Christian friends, to worship you and to praise you, and to confess our sins before you, knowing that we fall short. But we come with confidence that as you hear our prayers, you see our repentant hearts, you will forgive us in your mercy. We pray for Nettie as she is recuperating from an illness. And we pray for others who are going through difficult times, physical ailments that are causing pain. And we ask that you will bless them with endurance. We thank you for the medical advantages that we have today that can help assist in the healing of our bodies when they become broken. But we believe the healing ultimately comes from you, and so we place all our friends and those about whom we have concern in your care and keeping. We come to you asking your blessing upon our church, not only our local congregation, but the church worldwide, especially for our brothers and sisters in various parts of the world that are going through persecution and suffering. We ask that you will grant to them grace to endure the persecutions, so that they may be examples of your love even to their enemies. We pray for the leaders of our country and all countries, that they may be open to the guidance of your Spirit, so that nations may be led into brotherhood and peace. rather than conflict and war. And now, Father, bless us as we continue to worship you here, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This time, the senior choir will be singing "There's Something About That Name." Think about our offering. I don't know if you've ever thought about how blessed we are to have enough that we can give. You know, we think about the bills that we have, we think about the responsibilities and expenses that are part of our life, and yet after we pay all our expenses, we still have enough to share. And so the offerings that we give are a blessing from God that we can give to fulfill his work. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. There's two ways you can look at the offerings we give. One is to pay the bills. But a better and broader meaning is this is a way we can support the work that we believe God gives us to do. Our money are just a resource for the work that God entrusted to us as a congregation. So as we give, let us give with grateful hearts for the blessings that we have received. So if the ushers will come forward, we'll have a prayer blessing. We are grateful, Father, for the blessings of life that you bestow upon us. In your graciousness, you see our needs and you have provided for them. And we know that for some it is more difficult than others to take care of the needs of life, but we thank you that all of us have enough to eat, a place to sleep, and a loving community of which we are a part. So accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. This time the children may go to children's worship. Will you turn in your hymnals to the hymn that's registered? scriptures for today are taken from Matthew, the 2nd chapter, and Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Now go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And from Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This time we'll hear the message by my friend and our brother Ralph.
Good morning. I bring you greetings from the brothers and sisters at Lititz, Church of the Brethren. I kind of feel at home here. You've made me feel welcome, but I've got some history with Myerstown. Glenn and Lois are not only my dearest friends, but also Richard and Verna Forney. And I know he's down in Florida right now. Don't you wish you could be there too? Also, my friend Gene Booker is from this congregation, and his wife Fern Liskey. And also, I was here for the funeral of both Barney Braun and his wife Rhea, who came from Lititz. So I feel welcome, and I thank you for that. Now, there's a little bit of information on me on the back of one of the papers in the bulletin. Glenn could have said a lot more about me, but I think he didn't, because he knows I know a lot about him, too. But we met when we got to seminary, and we became brothers. I mean, in faith, playing all sports together. And as far as golf is concerned, the four of us who have been playing since seminary days, we call it the PGA, the Pastors Golf Association. And we even have trophies. But Glenn plays a lot of golf, and he is by far the best of the four of us. And whoever is paired up with him usually wins. So, Glenn, I have said publicly, you're a better golfer than I am. But we're here this morning to look into God's Word, the written Word, and to see there Jesus, the living Word, and then to go our way, not just as hearers, but also doers of the Word. And so I'd like to ask you to pray with me as we come to God's Word. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, Amen. All of us here have something in common. We're all traveling down the road of our life's journey. Now, some, like children and the youth sitting up here, are just beginning their life's journey. Others are nearer their final destination, and all are somewhere in between that. But all of us are traveling down the road of our life's journey. And my first text is part of the Christmas story, where the wise men are coming to see the baby Jesus, the newborn king of the Jews. And King Herod is very jealous and insecure and orders the wise men to come back to him and tell him the place where Jesus is born so he too can come and worship him. Of course, Herod plans to kill this newborn rival king. But the wise men fool old King Herod because God tells them in a dream to depart by another road and evade Herod's trap. And so the wise men do travel another road home, and the life of the infant Jesus is spared. Now, I believe we can learn a very important lesson from this text. Sometimes God calls us to travel another road than the one we're taking. Of course, that means our life is going to go in another completely different direction. Sometimes just finding Jesus as Lord and Savior changes old ways and set plans. And so I need to ask all of you now, on what road are you traveling right now? In this new year, are you going to live the old year over again? Or are you willing to be led in a new direction? Might God be calling you to travel yet another road? One of my favorite poets is Robert Frost. Listen to his poem, "The Road Less Traveled." Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then took the other, just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. As Frost writes, so on our life's journey, we mostly choose the road that we travel. And we base our decision on things like our home training, our values, our morals, our Christian faith. And when we do come to a fork in the road of life, we choose the direction we go by what we believe and by what we value, what we think is best for our family, or many times, which way is easiest and most convenient. And it is often when we're sailing down that road of our choosing that God may call to us to take another road, like God told the wise men. And the Bible includes many examples of God calling people to travel another road. While in slavery in Egypt, God told Israel to travel another road, the road of deliverance. That way led to the Exodus, moving them out of bondage through the wilderness and on to the promised land. Mary and Joseph traveled another road when they accepted God's call to be the parents of the Son of God. That road led from Nazareth to Bethlehem, down to Egypt, and finally back home to Nazareth again. Theirs was a journey of both fear and wonder, of obedience and courage. Jesus himself traveled another road when he left his home in glory and was born in a manger in Bethlehem. Obedience in the Garden of Gethsemane led to the road of the cross and the resurrection before Jesus returned to his heavenly home. Saul was on the Damascus road. While persecuting the followers of Jesus, God called Saul to travel another road. Saul was confronted by Jesus Christ himself, and Saul's conversion turned his world upside down and even changed his name to Paul. Might God be calling you to travel another road right now? Is God presenting you with a new challenge or opportunity, an option to your present situation? If so, what will you do about it? Travel down the same old road or take a new road less traveled? Keep on doing the same old routines or dare to risk something new? God always needs full-time workers in his church. God always needs better witnesses in the workplace. Are you sensing God's call to something new? Now, often the choice is difficult because there are conflicting signs on the road of life. Sometimes our head would have us go one way while our heart tells us something else. Our reasons and our emotions may conflict. And God's ways don't always make common sense. Sometimes the world and culture lure us to travel its highway, but Jesus says, no, we should travel his way, God's way. And God's way and the world's are mostly opposite. The roads leave in completely different directions. For instance, the world says life is cheap. Use it for your own pleasure and gain. Violence and death are all about us. But Jesus said, life is sacred, given by God, precious. And as we follow Jesus, we're called to travel the road that leads to life. We're to choose life over death and all the important issues of the day, like war and abortion and assisted suicide and the death penalty. Which road are you traveling on these important issues? God wants us to take the high road that leads to valuing life and peace. Or the world says, earn as much as you can and spend it on yourself in fun and pleasure. Live the good life of ease. Many travel that road as Satan whispers to us through advertisements for more and better things. I confess we all know that road far too well. Look at our homes, our cars. Look at all our stuff. Might Jesus be calling us to another road to give away more of what we have, to share more generously with those in need, to go beyond tithing to sacrificial giving? Are we willing to take financial risks for Christ and the needy? I said earlier that we mostly choose the roads we travel. But sometimes we're forced to travel a road that is not our own choosing. We're going on down our road and all of a sudden we come to a detour or a road closed sign. Has that happened to you? Perhaps a loved one is diagnosed with a terminal disease, or a child or a spouse dies, or we lose our job, or some other tragedy strikes suddenly. Then we have no choice but to travel that other road, don't we? And the journey may be difficult and lonely and heartbreaking. Many of us have gone down that road, and maybe some of you are on it right now. But even as we face that road that we do not choose, we do have a choice as to how we will travel that road. We can complain, or we can travel it with silent courage. We can let that journey defeat us, or we can use it as an opportunity to overcome. We can choose to make the best out of our hardship, or we can let it victimize us. Jim Valvano was a head coach of the North Carolina State 1983 college basketball champions. He was known for his upfront cards on the table attitude. When he quit coaching under a cloud of scandal, instead of seeking some low-profile job, Jim became an announcer for ESPN. Only a few years later, Jim was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Again, he chose to stay in front of the cameras instead of retreating to the sidelines. And Jim continued working through radiation and chemotherapy, through hair and weight loss. And just before he died, Valvano was given the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage. And in his acceptance speech, Jim said how dying from cancer really taught him how to live. And he established the Jimmy V Fund, which has since raised millions and millions of dollars to try to find a cure for cancer. We may have to travel roads that are not of our choosing, but we can choose how we proceed down that road. Now, whether we go down roads that we choose or those that are thrust upon us, one thing is certain. We have to keep on going. We must travel full speed ahead. We must continue that journey. We get nowhere if we stop or slow down because of second guessing or what ifs. We get nowhere if we pull over and park because we want to look back or play it safe. We live life by moving forward. An unknown author wrote this simple truth, quote, "Every morning in Africa, a gazelle awakens. It knows it must run faster than the lion or it will be killed. Every morning in Africa, a lion awakens. It knows it must run faster than the gazelle or it will starve. And so it doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle, when the sun comes up, you better be running." End of quote. Regardless of the roads we take, we get nowhere unless we continue to move forward. Procrastination is not an option. Progress is made only as we proceed on down the road and continue the journey. And we should always go in faith. Trust God for the journey. Know that God is with you, God will keep you, and God will bring you home. Know that you are never alone. God goes with you every step of the way. I'm so glad that God has set us in families, our individual families and our church family. I have found that family is so important as they accompany us on our journey. And God often sends other people to impact our lives, who intersect our lives at just the right time to help us travel on down the road. And we need to lean on them and accept their help. Never be too proud to accept their help. Finally, always, always take Jesus with you on your journey. Our travel should always begin and end with Christ living in us. And I pray this past Christmas season that Jesus was born anew in your heart. Because we know life's journey doesn't end when we die. Life goes on beyond the grave. Speaking of different roads, our life's journey will end either in heaven or in hell. The old evangelists used to always ask, "Where would you like to spend eternity?" It's a great question. And the most important decision we'll make in life is to make sure Jesus is in our heart. As our Lord and Savior, He will welcome us home. Now, I'd like to end with some words about your congregation's journey right now. Like most churches, much of your journey is marked by your pastoral leadership. Pastors and congregations are like a marriage. Some work out better than others. Some last longer than others. But the fact is, pastors come and go. Pastoral leadership always has endings and beginnings. A congregation is traveling down one road, and all of a sudden, their pastor leaves. Maybe he resigned to take another position in another church. Maybe they retire. Right, Glenn? Or maybe they're asked to leave. Always, a pastor leaving creates a void and uncertainty. And the time of transition between pastors can always be stressful, depending on the circumstances. Change brings stress, and members react differently. Some disgruntled members may stop coming, or in the meantime, attend another church. Some may move their membership, believing that is their best option. Staying the course may not seem to be the easiest way, but I believe it's the most faithful way. And your presence here this morning is a testament to that. I want you to know that I've been praying for you in this time of transition and change. May God guide and direct your leadership in choosing your next pastor. May you find this time to be one of opportunity for growth and spiritual renewal. You have so much going for you here at Myerstown. Build on that tradition. Use your gifts in ministry and mission. Continue to work together in unity and harmony. And continue to love and respect one another. And pray for your leaders. And remember, when the sun comes up, keep on running. May God bless you, whatever road you're traveling, as you continue the journey simply, peacefully, and together. Amen. Amen. The hymn is, it's on here somewhere. Number 421, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Let's stand as we sing. let us bow our heads to receive God's blessing as we leave. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.